praise. I would speak to you in the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. From the reading of Baruch, take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. On Friday night, it was my joy to attend right here the Grace Church Choral Society's Christmas concert. And I was pleased to see that one of their selections was Hark the Herald Angels Sing, always a favorite of mine. But would you believe that every year certain hyper-theological Scrooges take exception to the lyrics of this beloved hymn? They call it Hark the Heresy, because they believe the phrase, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, suggests that Jesus' humanity was only a costume, a veil, not the real thing. They don't like Away in a Manger for the same reason. The critics think that the line about Jesus not crying, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes, implies that Jesus was only pretending to be a baby and wasn't fully human. That's a heresy, and it won't do. As for me, I'd like to pour the theological Scrooges a stiff glass of eggnog and lead them in a rousing chorus of Have a Holly Jolly Christmas from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I love Christmas carols, even if the lyrics occasionally lack theological precision. You know, sometimes you just have to do what it takes to complete the rhyme. When I was little, my favorite carol of all was Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly. The reason, of course, is that Deck the Halls has my name in the lyrics. Don we now our gay apparel. Discovering my name in a carol was a big deal. You see, it pulled me even with my older brother Stephen, whose name appears prominently in Good King Wenceslas. Truthfully, I had no idea what Don we now our gay apparel could possibly mean. It was enough that my name was in the carol. In time, however, I would need more. So one day I asked my grandmother as she sat at the piano playing it, Grandma, what does Don we now our gay apparel mean? Mind you now, this was the 1960s, so the phrase would have none of the nuances it has today. I distinctly remember my grandmother not even missing a beat and saying, well, it means to put on your happy clothes. 'Tis the season to be jolly? Put on your happy clothes? It made sense to me. And to this day, Deck the Halls remains one of my favorite secular carols. Deck the Halls would also be the favorite carol of Baruch, the writer of today's first reading. Listen again to what he said. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head the diadem of the glory of the everlasting. Baruch was telling his readers to put on their happy clothes. Don we now, our gay apparel, is how he might have sung it. But who was Baruch? To be honest, we don't really know. The prophet Jeremiah had a scribe named Baruch. Jeremiah preached some 600 years before Jesus. at a time when the Jews were taken away into Babylonian captivity. But the little book we know as Baruch, a book that's actually in the Apocrypha, not even in the Old Testament, clearly comes from a later time, perhaps only 200 years before Jesus. So we don't know whether Baruch was addressing the exiled Jews in Babylon, or the scattered Jews of the diaspora, or Jews in Jerusalem living under occupation. What is clear, however, is that Baruch wrote for times of sorrow and affliction. The fortunes of Jerusalem in any scenario had been plundered. Either the people had been conquered and led away into exile, or they had been conquered and were living under some foreign occupation. The key word here seems to be conquered. Anyone who has suffered terrible, crushing grief or a devastating loss of livelihood and lifestyle knows the garment of sorrow and affliction that Jerusalem wore. Whoever Baruch was, his writing nevertheless anticipates a time, an event, for which Jerusalem would want to find some happy clothes and don them. It would be an occasion of unparalleled joy. What was going to happen? God was going to carry home everyone who had been dragged away by death, marched off into exile, and scattered into the diaspora. God was going to reconstitute Israel in the here and now and reunite the people in the sight of all. Baruch was issuing an invitation to climb the parapets of Jerusalem and watch it happen. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height, look toward the east, and see your children gathered from west and east, and the word of the Holy One rejoicing that God has remembered them. The party that Baruch described would be nothing short of an arrival ceremony to welcome heaven to earth. The image of a great gathering of people watching the powers of death turned back illustrates and anticipates everything that God is working to accomplish in creation. Indeed, the arrival of heaven on earth is still our Advent hope today. Let's be clear about something. During Advent, we aren't getting ready to celebrate the arrival of a cute baby 2,000 years ago. And we aren't preparing for a cataclysmic end of all things. The Advent hope is neither about sentimentality nor the apocalypse. Rather, the Advent hope looks to the time when we, in this mortal life, can know God on earth as God is known in heaven. God made himself known in the creation itself. God made himself known in the calling of Israel to be his people. God made himself known in the Word made flesh, Jesus. Now our hope and expectation is for when we can welcome heaven to earth again, to your life and mine. To be sure, God is working to arrange the marriage of heaven and earth. But when? Soon. When you least expect it, God's messengers, the prophets, tell us that the time is at hand to get your happy clothes out of mothballs. You have an invitation to attend the arrival ceremony of God. Really, the arrival of heaven on earth, you say. Many hold back, or at least try to manage their expectations for any number of good reasons. Frankly, the only thing that seems to be arriving these days is yet another variant of COVID-19. It was back in June when we first welcomed what we assumed to be the return of normal times. We took off our masks of sorrow and affliction. Then the Delta variant crashed the party, and it was back to face coverings and then even vaccine mandates. But we looked forward to Christmas, and the confirmed cases in New York City plummeted. So is it time to celebrate? No. Now we have the arrival of the Omicron variant and a renewed call to don our masks and get a booster shot as well. Put on your happy clothes? We might rightly mistrust Baruch's invitation because we've been down this road before only to be disappointed. We might also question the legitimacy of Baruch himself. I mean, if the list of biblical prophets were a Christmas carol, you would search in vain for the name Baruch. His name is not to be found in the lyrics. He didn't make the cut. So beware of any promises he makes. Don't be fooled. False prophets have led many astray. Friday's edition of the New York Times included the obituary of a Christian broadcaster named Marcus Lamb. Sadly, Marcus Lamb used his media empire and considerable influence to sow suspicion of COVID vaccines and recommend alternative, widely discredited drugs. He died on November 30th, at age 64. The cause of death? Ironically, COVID-19. Beware of false prophets. Marcus Lamb was one of them. Who is to say Baruch isn't another? So put away your happy clothes forever. The marriage between heaven and earth has been a sham all along. So speaks a cynical world, and the cynics aren't always wrong. But into the wilderness, every now and then, into the wilderness of our sorrow and affliction, a voice cries out, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What he meant by repentance was to take off the old so that you can put on the new. I think of a particular marriage feast parable that Jesus told. Do you remember the scene when the wedding guest arrived at the reception in his old clothing, not his festive attire, not his happy clothes? The host had him thrown into the outer darkness. The man wouldn't repent. The man wouldn't take off the old clothes, the old attitudes, the old prejudices, the old preconceived notions about God and existence. The man wouldn't take off the old garment of sorrow and affliction so that he could put on the new wedding garment of hope and expectation. As Baruch before John the Baptist said, "Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God." Baruch, again? Can we trust Baruch? We can. You see, Baruch's name may not appear in the lyrics of the prophets, but he was certainly singing the prophet's tune. Baruch sang in perfect harmony with Isaiah when he proclaimed in today's reading, "For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low and the valleys filled up to make level ground so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God." Isaiah, Baruch, and John the Baptist all sing the same song. Don we now our gay apparel. Put on your happy clothes. What does it mean? It's not a lecture to stop being sad. It's not a command to have a holly jolly Christmas. It's not a call to deny certain feelings that you have good cause to feel. Rather, it's a call to live in confidence that God has begun a good work in you, and God will bring it to completion. God will never be through with any one of us. It's a call to be dressed and ready for the next time God arrives, whether it be in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, or today, the second Sunday of Advent. Be dressed and ready for the arrival of God, even today. What does being dressed and ready look like in the ordinary lives we live? Many of you know that in August, my mother died just shy of her 91st birthday. And last weekend, we had a house full of extended family, first for Thanksgiving, and then finally to commit her ashes to the ground in a cemetery in Union, New Jersey. There, in a family plot, I saw for the first time in many years the grave of my piano-playing grandmother. Beside her is my grandfather, James George Nodell, also a major figure during my growing up years. For over 30 years, from the 20s and 30s and 40s, even into the 50s, my grandfather owned and operated a small commercial ice and coal business. It was a back-breaking job, grimy, greasy, sweaty, depending on the season. The ice docks of Newark, where he drove his truck, were controlled by the mob. Rough people would often block his way. It was never how he wanted to earn a living. My grandfather could have easily spent the best years of his life despairing, brooding over the hand he'd been dealt. But he didn't. Instead, he chose another way. Every evening, he would stage his own protest that, to me, beautifully illustrates what Baruch recommended we do. He would come home from work, exhausted and dirty. He would take off the garments of his sorrow and affliction. He would change out of his dirty work clothes, shower, and put on a white dress shirt and a necktie. For him, these were the beauty of the glory from God he was meant to wear. These were his armor of light against the power of darkness. These were his happy clothes. I remember my grandfather always wearing a white shirt and tie, even when he was just relaxing around the house, even after he'd retired. He would never have described it in biblical terms, but it was as if, at the end of the day, he wanted to be dressed and ready to stand on the parapets of Jerusalem and greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on your happy clothes. Put on the armor of light. Cast away the works of darkness now in the time of this mortal life. Then, when Christ comes again in his glorious majesty to judge the world, we may, without shame or fear, rejoice to behold his appearing. Amen.